This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi there, Dave.
This time we'll look at ways that cities and towns in Rhode Island might deal with the looming unfunded benefits liabilities, millions and millions of dollars worth. And to talk about that, our guest is Mr. Ian Ridlon, President and Executive Director of the Rhode Island Interlocal Risk Management Trust, which pools community money to deal with unfunded liabilities. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
A quick explanation of what the group does and why it exists.
Well, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. The trust itself was formed in the mid-'80s in response to the insurance crisis when municipalities were unable to get property casualty insurance. So what they essentially did was pool together their risks to take that on. And the trust was formed at or about the same time that a lot of other entities were doing it across the country. Since that time, we've expanded from property liability to include workers' compensation. We also now have a health pool and a dental pool, and most recently, this OPEB trust that we're talking about today.
And OPEB is other post-employment benefits.
That's
which is
correct.
A, you know, sort of a wonkish term for the things that aren't pensions that you owe people who no longer work for you.
The real driver on this are the health costs.
One of the key things, we've talked for years about pension liabilities. The state did had the big reform a few years ago. Towns and cities, some are reformed, some maybe not so much. But this OPEB liability is actually quite large. I mean, you know, the most recent calculation, which is probably, you know, 2 or 3 years out of date, said that the liability for towns and cities in the state was about upwards of $3.3 billion. And how much is put away for that?
Right now, we're probably at about 1% funded.
So tell us, what does that mean? I mean, you know, you're looking at these numbers. You're trying to help these municipalities deal with this. You know, what are they saying and what are you saying to them?
Well, we did this in response to a request from the municipalities because they did recognize that this was going to be an issue. Back when GASB 45 came into play, OPEB liabilities were recorded on a municipality's balance sheet, for lack of a better term, as a footnote. So it really wasn't showing up as a significant liability the way it will be under the new GASB regulations.
And those are the accounting regulations,
yes,
for government entities.
Yes. So there were some folks that were ahead of the curve, and they had established OPEB trusts to fund these essentially benefits that they had guaranteed to their retirees. So our board approached us, and from there we worked with the legislature, and Senator DePalma was instrumental in getting this established. But we had legislation that went through in 2012. It took us 3 years to get it through, but it went through, that allowed the trust to establish this program for its membership.
Is it a requirement for communities, for cities and towns to join the trust, to join the pool? And if not, how do you convince them?
Well, it's not a requirement. And as I indicated earlier, there were a couple that had gone out and done it on their own. The problem with going out and doing it on your own is it's expensive. You have to find a custodial bank. You have to have the papers drawn up. You have to have the trust established. On average, it can cost a community somewhere in the neighborhood of between $60,000 and $70,000 just to establish the trust itself. One of the nice things about our program is it's turnkey for all of our members. So what we've made available to them is an opportunity where really by simply passing a resolution and filling out about 3 pages of paperwork, they can start funding immediately and there's no cost to that.
There are a whole lot of municipalities that have no money put aside. That isn't that the unfunded liability is the entire liability. And so the question becomes, how does this change? I mean, what has to change in order for these towns and cities to be able to say, we have this situation under control?
What needs to change really is that people need to become more aware of it. Cities and towns are aware of it, but they also understand that they've got limited resources to establish these trusts, to fund these trusts and do anything other than, frankly, you know, pay-go, which is what some of them have been doing. But what we've really encouraged municipalities to do if they're considering joining this program is not to worry about the fact that they don't have enough to fund what they would need to fund on in a given year, putting any money towards the future obligations is a good thing. And we tell them that it's just like any time you open up a bank account, any money you put in there is good money to put in there.
We're talking deep finances here, but it's not a sexy topic for Election Day. How to get something across to voters, to citizens, about the importance of this? How do you do it?
I think the easiest way is you look at the number, which is anything that's in excess of $3 billion in unfunded liability should put people's antenna up. You know, if you need to say something more than that, that's a little bit scary.
Our guest is Ian Ridlon, President and Executive Director of the Rhode Island Interlocal Risk Management Trust.
And that number continues to grow. And one of the reasons is in towns and cities, you know, when we've talked in the past about the state pension liability, one of the interesting things about towns and cities is their liabilities are a little bit different, even in the OPEB realm, because they have a lot of public safety workers who retire early and everyone's living longer. And, of course, because the driver's health care costs, which are rising, still rise well past the, you know, the rate of inflation, this number is not static. I mean, you know, so it's a continuing increase. So, you know, it's interesting to me that people, because it was just a footnote, you know, no one was required to declare it. And I think, what is it, fiscal 2018, that it's going to have to show up as an actual line item on balance sheets?
Yes. This was candidly one of those things that was relatively easy to kick down the road as long as you were funding your obligations as you went along. But as you've indicated, those obligations are growing exponentially. So one of the things that we're really trying to do is to get people to realize that by putting money away for the future obligations, in addition to paying your current obligations, it's going to reduce what your ultimate liability is going to be. Giving away certain benefits in the future was always one of those things that, you know, we'll let the next administration or we'll let the taxpayers down the road deal with. But now they're recognizing that by giving these things away, this is an obligation that's going to stay with them forever. And now, as they're trying to stay current on the paygo, they're recognizing that's impeding their ability to set aside any money to satisfy these future obligations. So that's really going to put an impetus on municipal leaders and public safety, particularly, and other unions to come together at the table and recognize you know, what the true cost of these benefits are on a go-forward basis.
Some feel that receivership would be a better situation for cities and towns that are really struggling financially. Your attitude towards that?
And this is purely my personal opinion on it. I don't think that's in anybody's best interest. I always think that the best discussions are between the parties that are impacted. Sometimes it becomes necessary to do something like happened in Central Falls. And I think everybody will realize that they probably did the best they could under those circumstances. But I don't think anybody wants to go through that. And I think there are no winners in that. So, you know, I think it kind of behooves all of the parties that have a stake in this to get together and recognize what the limitations are and then also recognize what the obligations are.
Okay, we've run out of time on that very complicated financial subject, but we will be looking at it in the future. Our thanks to Rhode Island Interlocal Risk Management Trust, President and Executive Director Ian Ridlon. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Mark Murphy, thanks as always, Providence Business News Editor.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.